Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we are going to be having a subject matter that I think is an awesome way to start a week, and that is a three-letter word called joy. My guest today is Robert Sharp. He's put a book together called Joy Potential, Where You Would Least Expect It. Robert Sharp is also a fellow broadcaster. He has his own show as well. And I found this book to be absolutely charming. Robert, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
Well, you know, I am really intrigued with your book. I found that it was a wonderful, wonderful story. But let's talk about you for a little bit, because you used to be a corporate trainer, and you have studied metaphysics for more than 25 years, and then you got involved with media. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Okay, well, let's see. Well, I guess for education, I had got my bachelor's in psychology from Whittier College. And then right after that, I happened to go into banking, which was not a logical step, but it is one that happened. And for about 8 years or so, I was in the banking industry, mostly as an operations manager. Then I moved into the training department and became a corporate trainer. And then from there, when the banks went through their little downsizing, I moved to the restaurant industry. Again, not a logical move, but it was one that provided a whole bunch of training for me as far as, you know, what would happen in the future. And a lot of that had to do with, you know, computers and programming.
Hello?
Once that industry, you know, consolidated, I again found myself either the choice of moving across the country or deciding to take an entrepreneurial path. And that's when I did that. And with that, as far as metaphysics, I had for many years, you know, done tarot readings for myself. But right at about the time that I decided to take that entrepreneurial path, I met a gentleman and we created an oracle called Prophecy that combined astrology, numerology, and tarot. And that's kind of what started that metaphysical journey. And during that time period, I was also the producer and marketer and kind of the support for a radio show that dealt with metaphysics, and I was always behind the scene with that, and stayed behind the scenes up until about 2010, and then in 2010 I decided to step in front of the microphone and start my own radio show and network, and from that point on, I've had, you know, probably since October 2010, I've had about 500 shows with a couple hundred guests in it, and it's just been a wonderful journey.
Well, it's an intriguing one, and I think that the reason that I wanted you to share your story is to let people be aware that sometimes we may start out with an agenda, a plan, thinking that one particular direction is the end-all of end-all, and we find that it's only the beginning. And we may have to go through more than one, job environment or series of conditions before we realize that maybe we're in a training process to get to where we want to be, which is what has happened with you. You've ended up in media, and you're finding you really enjoy it. And look at all of the things that went before. So I appreciate your sharing that. Let's talk about joy. Now, when that word is mentioned, What's the first picture that comes into your mind?
A big smiling face.
One of the happy faces.
Just happiness.
Mm-hmm. Well, your book, Joy Potential, when you start out, and I need to let my listeners know that this is a fictitious rendition, yet a lot of you is in this, Robert. There's a great deal of what you've experienced and the questions you asked yourself, like, what if you didn't want change? Oh, my goodness. We're living in a cycle at this time where it seems like we blink and change is right there. It happens in our world today with such a speed that I think if any of our ancestors were to come forward and they'd say, boy, this is unbelievable. Look at how fast things change. And we have to go through these changes. And one of the biggest lessons I think that I learned many, many years ago is that there are no guarantees. Just when you think you've got everything in a pat little situation, it's like the universe comes along and says, okay, it's time for an Alka-Seltzer and fizzle up, things fizzle up and fizzle away. And that's part of what you address in your story that you have in your book, Joy Potential. In fact, on the very first page of your introduction, there were the questions, what if I don't want to change? What if I'm perfectly happy keeping things the way they are? And, gee, life isn't fair. It decided that I needed to go through another experience. You went through this quite a bit, didn't you?
Absolutely. And even though the setting is fictitious in a way, actually, I had one guest on my show who wrote a book, and he called his faction, which was really, you know, so many facts just kind of wrapped up in a story that made it easier to get those points across. So that is you know, what I kind of call mine. And it is true. I mean, virtually all of the issues the character goes through are issues that I have actually confronted. And I did add in a little bit more that also a lot of my radio listeners have expressed as challenges that they seem to encounter, you know, especially in today's environment. So I wanted to make sure that to be able to provide that additional perspective for those. And yes, you know, the change is all around us. And people, you know, if one does not embrace change and actually help make it work for you, then what ends up happening is there's a log jam, and people just don't kind of go with the flow. You go against the water, and just like swimming against the water, you get tired and you're going in the wrong direction, and it's just exhausting.
Yes, it is exhausting. I've been there. I've done that. I know. So here we are with a character. The primary character is a man, and he doesn't have his dream job. He is out of work, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to today. And he ends up having to take a temporary job positioning. And this is something that in his wildest dreams, he never thought that's what was going to end up happening. Not only does he end up with a temporary job positioning, but he's ending up working hours that are just opposite of what he likes. It's the graveyard shift. Boy, can I relate to that. It's midnight till 8:30 a.m. when I worked for a police department. I remember having to work that shift and thinking I was never going to make it through. It was just incredible. And you talk about the body clock and, you know, the words, if I can adjust. Now, this is something, again, going full circle back to what you said. If you're not willing to flow with change, then you're going to feel like you're stuck. And that's what your character was going through.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like you, I actually did have one little stint of a graveyard shift when I was working in the restaurant industry as a corporate trainer. They felt that I really needed to understand the front line and actually had to learn to run a shift at a restaurant and during the graveyard shift. And it was a challenge for me that was just amazing. So, you know, and what I find is that particular setup was like what many people are going through now, that we have a set kind of routine that sometimes, you know, life hands us circumstances that really throws a wrench into that routine, and we really kind of have to adjust. And so that's kind of why I wanted to highlight that type of thing.
In your book, Joy Potential, you go through a lot of emotions that any one of us can relate to. And one of the emotions that you deal with is anger. And you have a sentence in your book, "The only way not to get tangled in the stream of negativity is to transform anger into a positive experience." And here is this guy working at a temporary job where he's dealing with complaints all the time. Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, there's a lot of sourpusses in this life. And when you have to deal with them, one right after the other, it gets to be a bit much, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I, one of my jobs very often was dealing with customer service. And, you know, that is a very difficult position that people can have in any company, because they are confronted usually with an irate customer. And it can be a very big challenge to continue to remain positive and cheery and happy when, you know, your first interaction with an individual is, you know, anger and a complaint about a product or service that they may have received. So, one of the reasons that I highlighted, you know, that particular emotion of anger is because, you know, that is one of the things that I think is an emotion that really guides people down a wrong direction. You know, it's one of those things where if you get really involved in it, it kind of spirals. So I think in order to be able to, you know, transform that into a positive experience, really not only allows the individual to help improve their life, but it also helps, you know, whoever they're interacting with.
I was intrigued with how you also folded in the use of color and how the lunchroom, then this story, was painted a brilliant yellow. And I laughed when I read this because I had a friend, she has since passed away, but she ran a school. All of her classrooms were painted a very vivid yellow. She got a lot of complaints, but nobody fell asleep in class. And here I see it in your book, and I just laughed. I thought that was really something. Did you work in an environment where there actually was someone that painted the room yellow?
Well, you know, that is funny because you're the first person to have brought that up. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was one of those cases where I don't know why I actually put it in there. It was, you know, most of my book actually was uncovered to me every day when I went on a walk. I mean, I had the idea one day, and then I didn't, like some authors do, have an outline and go through individually and highlight areas. I would go on a walk that morning, and I would be kind of given the information that I would be, you know, writing, and then I would go back to my house and write. And but, you know, that particular point, that was when the character, you know, actually starts their job right there in that new environment. And because, you know, a graveyard shift and that not being typical, you know, it seemed that, you know, there had to be some kind of environmental way to be able to keep the character alive and alert. And so that's kind of why the yellow went there. But you know, I mean, other than that, there wasn't, you know, I wasn't a conscious, you know, I'm going to go and insert color into this. It was just there.
Now, you have some delightful characters. One of them is Sunny. And this represents, I think, a young woman who just has a very, very sweet personality. And you bring that out, and you bring out the fact how other people feel, act, present themselves affects one. And this character was a very fine demonstration of someone who is in a job that's like a barista in a Starbucks. And it's not what you'd think, a real exciting job, and hers is less than glamorous. But yet she's got such a sense of joy about what she is doing. And wonderful presentation about attitude.
Yeah, it is. That particular character, Sunny, one of the things that I have found, and again, and like you mentioned, like a Starbucks or even at a grocery store or a big box store, is the people who are at the register and the checkout have an amazing opportunity every day with hundreds of people they come into contact with to be able to affect the customers in a positive way. And I find it amazing. I like to people watch, and I find it wonderful when I see someone who is in that position with a real sunny disposition, you know, that they can actually brighten the day of the people who walk through their line, you know. And that was one of the things I really wanted also the reader to recognize, is that no matter what your job is, that, you know, be it what some may think is, kind of an ordinary, not very exciting job, but whatever your job is, you have an opportunity every day through the people you meet to be able to create that joy.
Now, you have a character, John, who, to the primary character in the book, is like a mentor. And he ends up, your primary character is interacting with this man. And this man, he's such a wise person, and he makes a comment about removing doubts about the path one is traveling. And I thought about that, and I said to myself, how many times do we find ourselves in situations where we look at it and say, this doesn't make sense. It's not logical. My life just stinks. What in the world am I doing in XYZ positioning? And yet there seems to be an invisible logic and reasoning, sometimes when we have hindsight, that we can see. And this is one of the gifts that your primary character is given by this stranger that he calls John.
Yes, yeah, that is, John is a wise man, you know, and I, as I was writing what John was saying to me, it was wonderful, because it was this, ethereal character, giving me guidance as well. And John really helped the character deal with everyday challenges, those things that are going on, in one's life, that, some would call the mundane, but it's just the getting through life, and that particular one about removing doubt from one's path is, that's, I think people do that all the time, why am I here? What did I, what am I doing? Where am I going? And so much time is spent on wondering about one's path rather than living one's path. And that's what I was hope that people would get from John's wisdom, is the fact is that, it's really most important to live the path rather than wonder and worry about what that path is.
One of the components that you live on a regular basis is that of being a broadcaster, and you manage to weave that into the story, too, with a character by the name of Emily, who wants the primary character to be on a radio show. And I thought, aha, this is sharing what you went through when you first got into media. And it's a very, very special event, but there is a section in your book relative to this experience where the word potential is used. And I quote from your book, "Every one of us has the choice to put our attention to whatever we choose, and where we put our attention, we create." That's what happened when you did this book. Correct?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And it's interesting, as I was writing the book, while I was writing it, I kind of kept it as generic as I could, recognizing that, people most often get joy from their hobbies or what they do as a hobby. So I wanted to direct people to their hobby. And I would say probably at about a month to 6 weeks into writing the book, it got to be so cumbersome, you know, just constantly referring to a hobby, that I actually had to take ownership, you know, and that's when I put in the internet radio in my experience. It was like, okay, I can't not make this story about, you know, I have to make it about myself. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and my work with the internet radio. So that was, you know, it was at that point that I put it in. And then it started to flow again, you know, all of the information, and recognize that, you know, I had to make the story a lot about me, even though I wanted to make it more generic. So, and then the potential, you know, I'm very, conscious and very interested in the, you know, the quantum perspective that is, you know, recent discussion and the potentiality of life. And it actually wasn't until that particular reference that you made that the name of the book, Joy Potential, took form. Up till that point, it was just on my computer as book one. and at that point, it became Joy Potential.
Now, let's go back to Sunny for a moment, because here is this charming, delightful personality that you bring out in the book. And yet, later on in the story, when you go in to see Sunny, I mean, this is someone you're seeing on a regular basis because she's a part of your life. You go in, you chat with her, she's just charming. But there's the day when you go in and there's no smile on her face, her eyes are very sad, because someone that she loves and cares for a great deal has gone through a major trauma. And you find that you put the primary character in a positioning of being able to help her see how things can be resolved. You sort of had a role reversal here.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I also, again, wanted the readers to recognize, in the sense that, you know, in life, so many times that, you know, if we help others, we truly learn and help ourselves through that process, you know, and helping Sunny, you know, work through that by, you know, providing her with the information for a radio show that ultimately shifted her perspective and her friend's perspective into something of a passion. That's the kind of thing that I think, you know, I would like for readers to recognize, is that by putting yourself out there and trying to help others, you'll be amazed at how things can reverberate back to you.
John is a man, a very wise man, as you described him. Then you add a character, Lenora. Lenora is someone that really objectively makes the primary character in the book aware that fear had guided this person's life too much. And I think so many times we are not aware of how fear eats at our very spirit, and how many times decisions we make in life, bad decisions, have actually been preceded by this insidious thing called fear. Now, I've always said fear is a two-edged sword. You can use it to leverage yourself in a positive way, or it can be very destructive, and you can chop yourself into little pieces. So this is something that is addressed in the book, too. And I think that that is significant. By the way, I like Lenora. She's a very factual kind of a gal.
Yeah, she's a hoot. You know, it was and it was just wonderful, because and funny, because when Lenora, when I started writing her into the book, actually she had a different name, and as I was writing, it just, things just didn't feel right, and so finally I decided on that name, which actually was like a Greek name for, that means compassion. And so that was why, you know, her, that name. And I actually had to go back in the book where I had already written, you know, conversations from her, and had to rewrite because it was a completely different energy. And it was amazing. So yeah, she ended up being quite a strong personality. And yeah, and fear, you know, the focus on fear is, you know, that's the one thing that really prevents us from truly experiencing life to its fullest, is fear of failure, fear, even fear of success. You know, whatever we have, you know, fear of the unknown, those, so many things like that just really prevent us from expressing our true selves.
Here in the United States, we have had so many hard-hitting natural disasters in the past few years. And when I think of just recently what affected New Jersey and areas of the eastern seaboard with hurricanes and flooding and just, I mean, very, very difficult situations, this seemed to be also something that was very significant in your book. And you have a sentence in your book that says, when what we own is stripped away, we get a clear picture of who we are in essence. We're not our possessions. And I thought about that, and I thought about all of these things that have happened to people around the world. I look at the tremendous tragedy in Bangladesh, all of these things that go on, and I thought, it really is the relationships we have. And this is something that you very poignantly bring out in the book through the characters that you have designed in your book, Joy Potential.
Yes, and the characters actually do. Sonny's friend goes through a natural disaster, and Hisa, one of the guests of the internet show, was actually also had one of those, and that was the character who had everything stripped away: the job, the possessions, you know, family and friends, and just you know, and we have gone through that. And, you know, it is, you know, whenever you see these kinds of disasters happening, most often you'll see that people come out of it either saying, you know, thank God I'm alive, thank God, you know, we have our lives. People who, you know, had lost their limbs, well, you know, at least I have my mom who can actually see, you know, see me get married, you know, and mm-hmm. and so, you know, those kinds of things, when they happen, you know, it does. It really brings out our strength as well as those of others. You know, when you see the Boston Strong people coming together and the compassion that was displayed as a result of that horrific incident, you know, those are the things, those kinds of bonds, those are the things that are going to extend beyond this life, I believe.
I agree with you. Well, I know we're just about out of time, Robert, but you have so much wisdom in this story, in Joy Potential. And I really liked another aspect, and it says, from the time I awake until the time I go to sleep, I'm presented with dozens of opportunities to make a difference, to create a special experience that will be forever remembered with fondness. And your character in the book makes a statement that it's good to seek out those opportunities. Seek out those moments when you can mindfully make a difference. And sometimes it's just a smile. It can be so simple. And putting worry, well, maybe in your back pocket and sitting on it, but it really steals away a lot of time. Worry does really do that, and we all do it. I don't know of anybody that doesn't do it, because we're all taught so well how to do it. What is your closing thought for us? Now, oh, before I forget it, I want to give out your website. It's biteradio.me. That's www.bite, B-I-T-E, radio.me. And Robert Sharp, you have your website. People can find out about your radio show. You're on from 7 to 8 Eastern Time. And are you on 5 days a week, or are you on just once a week?
I have a show 3 days a week, on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And Wednesdays 4 to 5 Eastern, Fridays 8 to 9 Eastern, and Saturdays are 7 to 8 Eastern, different time slots. And I'm looking forward to having you on my show on June 29th, Saturday the 29th.
Well, I'm looking forward to being your guest, too, and then I'll be giving more information about that, too, as we get closer. Your book, Joy Potential, is so nicely done, Robert. And what I think it does for the reader, it makes them aware they're not alone, that this is in this life that we're living. We all have our scripts, and we are all important. And so when we can be mindful about our lives, then we're going to find we can have that joy and joy potential. That's what your book is all about. And I like your subtitle, Where You'd Least Expect It. Robert Sharp, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Well, thank you, Donna. I enjoyed this very much. And I look forward to talking more next month.
Well, I'm looking forward to sharing that time with you as well. Donna Sebo here. Check out his website, biteradio.me, biteradio.me. His show is on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. You go to his website, you'll get all of those time frames. And as he said, we are going to be on the air together on his program, so I'll be giving you more information about that as time goes by. Robert Sharp, again, thank you for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo, broadcasting live from Anchorage, Alaska, where it's not snowing now, the sun's shining. Oh, it's gorgeous. We'll be back in just a minute.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, I'm going to be back in the home office tomorrow, but this broadcast is coming to you live from Anchorage, Alaska, which at this moment the sun is shining. Tour buses are coming in. That's right. It's the beginning of the season coming to visit this magnificent state. Also, I wanted to say that the weather has, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, has just been loaded with snow and ice and rain, and it's just been incredible. But we have just had such a wonderful experience up here, especially with USS Anchorage, who was the ship, the transport ship, which is the size, I guess, of two football fields put end to end, and maybe a little bit bigger than that. But it was quite an experience for the citizens here, and they just had a great time visiting the ship and all of the wonderful personnel. And we want to thank those fabulous people for being able to come into the area and make such a difference in people's lives. It really was quite spectacular. Donna Sebo here. Hey, the telephone lines are open. If you would like to... Thank you. I'm going to give out the number, 888. I know we've got a caller on the line, but I'll go to you in just a moment. 888-627-6008. So let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Sure. Hi, this is Lisa, and I'm calling it from California.
Where in California, Lisa?
Oh, in San Diego.
Oh, my goodness. One of my favorite places. But boy, have you... Wow. It's so busy getting down there, I'll tell you. It's just an incredible community. Okay, Lisa, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I am looking at is a sense of frustration, and I'm also looking at a very high level of anxiousness. And when I'm watching this, you're such an efficient person. You really make it very important that you keep your priorities in order and you do what is necessary. But I'm seeing you feeling so tired, Lisa. I think you are working so hard, and you need to back off a little bit. And when I say that, I'm not saying, gee, just drop everything and become a lazy bum. That's not what I'm asking you to do. When I say back off, I think you need to give yourself some elbow room. You need to give yourself some space. Sometimes you overload your everyday patternings to such a degree that you deplete your energy stores. And the first thing I want you to do is to be able to just have downtime, quiet time. No cell phone, no computers, no television, no radio, whatever. You just are quiet. Now, that's going to be a tough thing for you to do sometimes because your to-do list is a pretty good-sized one. So you just need to know you need the downtime. You need to step away because this year, especially after the 16th of June, you are going to be very deeply involved in making some major choices, some major decisions that are going to have an impact on your life. They're going to have an impact on your priorities, and you can see it coming, and you're a little concerned, and, hey, my dear, you can't control everything. You just can't. But if you can, slow down a little bit, back up, just take time to be quiet. You're going to be able to get through this shifting change without distortion. And that is very important for you. By the way, you need your eyes checked. There's something here where I feel like my eyes are really working overtime, and I'm getting headaches in the temple area, and it's from muscle strain. Your glasses, you need glasses. You need to have something that's going to assist the eyes. Do you have a question for me?
Okay. Yes, I do. I actually just recently went through a breakup, and that's probably what you're sensing is that frustration. But I've also been doing a lot of work trying to make sense of it all and heal that so that I can move forward. And so I just guess my next question would be, do you see when I'm actually going to be ready for this new mate? Because I'm ready for a different kind of relationship.
You ask your question in a most interesting way. And what I would say is this. Right now, if you can give yourself some space, dump the judgment. Your mind is always going to go into, you know, just hyper speed when it comes to trying to analyze things, figure things out. What did you do wrong? What did the partner do wrong? Go through all this stuff. This is normal and natural. But what I want you to do is to be quiet. Now, it really sounds strange, but I want you to have times of quiet. You live in a beautiful area. Go down to the beach. Walk on the beach. Maybe just walk in a mall and look at different things in a store and realize this person was in your life to wake you up to what you really don't want in a relationship. And let me tell you what it is, one of the big things. You don't want to be somebody's mother. You don't want to have to be carrying a life chest of Band-Aids trying to figure out how to fix their problems. You want to be with someone that has got a pretty good level of experience under their belt and really likes themselves as a human being. And in that way, then they are going to respect and appreciate you. So you've got to get out of the rescue game.
I wasn't really, that's not really the dynamic, actually. He was more like a father. There was more of that going on. But he was emotionally, I think his heart was just not able to open up. But I don't ever feel like I was his mother nor his caretaker.
Well, maybe you don't see it at this time because you see him in a different light. But you have just stated the emotional situation that he went through.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, you were like a Band-Aid, but it kept coming unglued. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't work. So all I'm asking you to do, because you are very intelligent and you analyze things. But
well, no, I try and learn from previous mistakes, and so that's what you're probably picking up on is me.
No,
saying,
no, dear. Just
what happened?
Yeah, I know.
Need to do differently.
But this is a situation that has got many sides to it. It has many sides to it. And so you're going to get through it, and eventually you are going to be married, and you're going to be very happily married.
Oh, yeah, I know. I feel
this
that.
This is a process that you're going through to know what you don't want and to be able to look at things with a perspective that's more expansive and wiser than what you have. I give you about 3 to 6 months, and I think you'll be through this. But I think it's important you have the downtime. You have the quiet time.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find, you'll discover.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll discover that you'll be able to see things in a way that you had not been able to see before.
Yeah, I get that. I believe that.
And I thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You have a wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo. I'm broadcasting live from Anchorage, Alaska. And if you would like to get in touch with me, all you have to do to chat with me today on the phone is call 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a quote with you. Boy, I just feel it fits in so nicely with what my guest was talking about today. And it is a quote by Joe Girardi. And he said, everyone has influence, no matter what your personality type or your career, no matter whether you're rich or poor, married or single, young or old. The question is not whether or not you have influence, but what you will do with the influence you have. What will you do with the influence you have? Well, I'll tell you what, I have got an absolutely delightful story about a cold nose and a warm heart. And so we are going to take a break for just a moment. I know we've got a caller on the line. And if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. But we'll come back and talk with a caller. And then I'll share the cold nose and the warm heart. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting from Anchorage. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, 888-627-6008. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, my first name is Maureen. I'm calling you from Canada, from Montreal.
From Montreal. Welcome to the show. Maureen.
Thank you.
I think you have a great deal of psychic ability, but what I'm looking at is I think you're at a crossroads relative to it. You've had some experiences with some people that you just felt were a little bit spacey. Maybe that's the word I should use. And you're not quite sure about your own abilities and the best way for you to develop them and or a safe environment, perhaps, for you to explore. And I will share with you what my mentor told me so many years ago, and that is build your library. Read books. And then you'll find what resonates with you. But I am seeing you having some pretty powerful dream experiences, and also you're noticing synchronicity in your life quite a bit. You're paying attention. And if I could make a suggestion to you, when it comes to the development of your own intuitive ability, I want you to relax about it. I want you to enjoy it. I don't want you to make it a chore. I don't want you to add anything to it or take anything away from whatever experiences you have. And I think very nicely, very gradually, you're going to find those environments that are going to be very supportive of someone with your talents, and you're going to be able to develop them. But you are in a bit of a dilemma because you feel like you're at a crossroads or coming close to a crossroads in your life, and you can't quite figure out how to read what you are getting in the way of information. That's not a surprise to me. I think everyone goes through that. Even those that have been in the work for a long time, they still experience it. And all I want you to do is to learn that this is a level of understanding, of trusting yourself, that you're evolving through. And you're going to be fine financially. You're going to have to be, what I would say, frugal with your money. But you're learning lessons about money at this time. You are also learning lessons about self-esteem. And I would encourage you to, when you're looking at how you want to improve yourself, if you will look at those people who, to your mind, represent the standard you wish to see yourself seen by other people representing as well, start from there. That's a very good place to begin. And really ask yourself, what is most meaningful to you? How do you want people to perceive you when they first come in contact with you? There's that old saying, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. That may not be entirely true, but usually it is. We all make decisions within about 30 seconds. But your life is not going to be moving at a real fast pace this year, and it is to your advantage. It is to your advantage that it's going to be going at a slower pace so that you can learn what you need to learn, be at peace with the fact that your intuitive skills are developing. They're going to develop very nicely. And just know that you are going to meet those people that you can utilize as teachers, as examples of how you want to see your life shift, and give yourself the rest of this year, and I would say almost a complete year, up until early spring of 2014, to flow into the shifting change that is happening for you right now. Don't try to push it. Just move with it gradually as it presents itself. You've got a good life, and you're going to find your life much more interesting in 2014, so be patient with the small beginnings that you're experiencing now. Do you have a question for me, Maureen?
Well, it's interesting you're saying that, because when I was a child, I was actually psychic. I had a very strong ESP, and then when I got to about 10 years old, it went blank on me. And recently, I had a CT scan, just a regular checkup, and it showed that my pineal gland is calcified.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, that's why I lost a lot of my psychic ability. And I'm trying to find out ways how to get the calcification off.
Well, let me make a suggestion to you. There was a gentleman that I had as a guest. His name is Stephen Ross. And if you will, go and check out the World Research Foundation. It's WRF.org, I believe. It's either .org or .net. I don't have the information in front of me. But I believe he may be able to assist you in determining something that you could use. But your intuitive ability, dear, is not just related to your pineal gland. It is actually built into your nervous system. Now, glands mm-hmm. have an effect, but it is not the end-all of end-all.
And, yeah, like I'm trying to use my subconscious mind to, you know, to do things. Like I try and give it orders, like do this for me or do that for me. It could be work-related, like projects I'm working on, but I can't seem to, I don't feel I have the confidence to connect. Like there was a writer, I forget his name. He's a very well-known writer, too. And what he would do is he would tell his subconscious mind before going to bed, you know, you must give me a story to write about tomorrow or whatever. And he would always come out with these best top-selling books.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that can, you know, do that sort of thing. I believe in that, but I seem to be lacking confidence in that department.
Well, that is where practice comes in. And that mm-hmm. is where the expansion of your understanding, where there is much more at work than what you realize. And the fact that you mm-hmm. have awakened yourself to the reality that this is a part of you that you want to demonstrate more in your life, I think is marvelous. And you want to pat yourself on the back for that. But don't give up, because this mm-hmm. is something where your skills may demonstrate themselves in ways that will be different than what you experienced as a child. But you've not lost it, my dear. It's just going to mm-hmm. show itself in a different way.
Okay. Well, you are really, really accurate.
Thank you, Maureen.
Well,
and I'm so delighted that you found out about the show.
Well, I just found out about it 2 minutes ago, and I tried you, and luckily I got through, so I guess it was all meant to be.
Well, I appreciate that. And be sure you tell your friends about it, because we have a lot
of
fascinating people.
You were right on.
Yes. Now, what I would do is do check out the worldresearchfoundation.org, because
yes,
there's some fascinating material there. All right, my dear. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Siebel. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. Well, I wanted to share this delightful story about a cold nose and a warm heart. Well, if you haven't guessed with that title, it's all about a mutt. And those of you that listen to the show regularly know how much I absolutely love dogs. And my husband and I have a wonderful little Scottish terrier named Victor, who is just so close and special to us. But this is about a six-year-old lab mutt. Now, when you look at him, I don't know what mom and pop were, but I'll tell you what, he may be a lab, but he's got some real interesting features. And this is just absolutely a charming story about a therapy dog. And there was a unique name they gave this dog, Pransky. And this dog, she said, the woman that owns Pransky, her name is Sue, and she said, she just knows animals always are going to teach you things. But she said, I had no idea what this dog was going to teach me about the elderly. She said, Pransky was a natural therapy dog. And by golly, this dog took Sue out of her comfort zone. And she said, when they'd go into the homes for the elderly, they'd encounter people with attitude, like this one man, Thomas. And she said she learned about him. He had run a dairy farm in Vermont, and they'd approach him, and he just wouldn't say a word. But Pransky knew something that Sue didn't know. Pransky would walk up beside the chair that Thomas was sitting in and would just sit down. And she said, she looked at Thomas's hands, and they were huge, and they were calloused and hard because his life had been very hard. But he just reached down to the dog, and he just scratched the dog on its back and do it just consistently. Pransky just let him do it. It was like, you know, special massage. And guess what? Sue said, not a word was spoken. And that's the way it was. All of a sudden, one morning, and they've been doing this for weeks, one morning, after Pransky had gotten her massage, Kama said, she likes that. Sue was astonished. She was thrilled. He had spoken. He hadn't spoken for such a long time. Not only was Thomas aware of what was going on, but he knew all about the dog. And she said, I learned many times people go into shells and they maybe seemingly don't care. And you may think they're inattentive, when in reality, they're wide awake. Good lesson, don't you think? Cold nose, warm heart. Well, that's Pransky, making a difference in the lives of the elderly, showing others they're not dead. They're really alive. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. I'll be back in home turf tomorrow, right here, again on BBS. And we're going to Italy tomorrow. That's right, via technology. So I hope you'll join us. Ettore Grillo is going to be my guest. Talk to you then. Have a magnificent day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.